Isn't that so true in our day? Isn't that so true? How many people, how many times we are tempted to think, I got it all, man. I don't need anything. I'm rich. I got my stuff. I got myself. I got my security. I don't need anything. This is the plague upon Western society. Jesus addresses this right here. Not realizing, though, so you say you have everything. You say you are rich. You say you are prospering. You say you have everything you need, but yet you fail to realize spiritually you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're thankful that you've joined us today. Today, we're continuing on in our series called A Word for the Church. We've been looking at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and now we come to the last church, and it's the Church of Laodicea. And Robbie, you say this is a passage that's near and dear to your heart, right?
Yeah, and just as we end this series and this Word for the Church, we just want to reach out to our listeners. If you've been encouraged in this series, as always, hey, let us know. We'd love to hear from you and just to hear your voice, see your letter, and just to understand how God has been moving. That means so much to us. And this letter here today and this theme of lukewarm, you probably know this text fairly well. It's preached often for a reason, because this speaks to the heart of what Jesus has for his church. He's not good with apathy. He's not good with complacency. He is not good with mediocrity, because in his grace, he has called us to so much more. So this is a message I particularly get fired up about, because it really describes, and Craig, I know you agree with this too, but this just really describes the heart of why we're here, the heart of why I exist, and I hope you exist too, a passionate pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. And messages like today, passages like today, there's no wiggle room, man. You can't make excuses for not being in love with Christ or settling for less or being apathetic. You just can't. So we're forced to look at this right now and say, God, by your strength, by your grace, help us to be a church that's lit on fire for you. Otherwise, you say, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And that, last time I checked, that's not very good. Right? Right? So today, I live in the light, urgency, passion, a tremendous sense of God at work. Do it, Lord, do it.
All right, it's a letter to the lukewarm, to the church at Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 14. Let's jump right away into today's teaching, and here again is Pastor Robbie.
Let's get our Bibles open to Revelation chapter 3. It's where we are, and this is our final letter in our series, A Word for the Church. This is our seventh letter, our seventh church, and therefore our seventh message in this series called A Word for the Church. I want to recap where we've been just to remind you. Here's our series outline going back to the beginning of November. A letter to those lacking in love, that's the church in Ephesus. A letter to those suffering, that was Smyrna for the cause of Christ. And then we saw in Pergamum a letter to the faithful, sort of, kind of, not really, almost. And we saw elements of good and bad there. Very serious letter to the church in Thyatira, to the sexually immoral. Awful things were happening there. A letter to the spiritually dead happening in the church of Sardis. Again, the seriousness. Remember, these are all the words that Jesus has for the church. In some ways, again, impacting the church in the first century, but also in some ways describing the church over the last 20 centuries, and in many ways describing where we are today as well, of course, the church right now. A letter to the persevering last week, that was to be a sermon of encouragement. Do not give up, keep going, walk with the Lord. He sees all things. And then today we see this, we see a letter now to the lukewarm, focusing on the church in Laodicea. And today's message is also a very important one as well. Again, not a super easy one, but again, nonetheless, a very important one. So today we have a letter again to the lukewarm. This is for me important. This is yet another text where Jesus is in the pursuit of his people so that they might be in pursuit of him. Jesus is pursuing his people again through this passage. He's coming after the church that's lukewarm, because in the end, he wants his church to be pursuing him, okay? So again, get ready, okay? Get ready, because Jesus is coming after you again in love. Jesus is coming after your heart and mind, this church's heart today, in love, because he will not let us stray and go off into the spiritual ditch. He loves us too much to let us do that. Here's one of the realities here today. There's some people who are lukewarm across this church right now, for sure. It's just the stats. Could be in the dozens, could be in the hundreds. I don't know. I'm not God. He does. This is a word for individuals. This is a word for the church today, this church and the church as a whole. Jesus is not okay with us being lukewarm. That's the first thing we need to understand. And then he's going to call us to something greater and higher, something deeper. So with that being said, here is the letter to the church in Laodicea, a letter to the lukewarm. It says this in verse 14, Revelation 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Jesus says this, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing. Isn't that so true in our day? Isn't that so true? How many people, how many times we are tempted to think, I got it all, man. I don't need anything. I'm rich. I got my stuff. I got myself. I got my security. I don't need anything. This is the plague upon Western society. Jesus addresses this right here. Not realizing though, so you say you have everything. You say you are rich. You say you are prospering. You say you have everything you need, but yet you fail to realize spiritually you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. This is Jesus loving the church here. I want you to understand that. We'll get to that in a little bit. If Jesus doesn't say this, he doesn't love us. He says this, he says in verse 18, I counsel you now. Here's what you should focus on. Instead of buying all the stuff from material possessions of the world and wanting to be obsessed with money all the time, I counsel you to buy from me. That's massive. From me, Jesus says. You got to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. Buy for me white garments. Why? So that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. Buy for me salve to anoint your eyes so that you may actually see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. And then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him. And he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is unbelievable right there, that promise. And then verse 22, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Notice verse 14. Where do we start? We start with our first verse. Where else can we go? This is the word of God. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, right? The words of the Amen. When this is speaking, every letter of the seven letters begins with the words of Christ, the word of God. This is the word of the Holy One. This is the word of the one who can be trusted in all things. So the words of the Amen or Amen, the words of the Amen, Jesus Christ, every promise we have is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen means so be it. Amen means let it be done. So therefore, the one who is speaking is the one that every promise is fulfilled in. Jesus is the Amen. If you want to find life, if you want to find truth, again, if you want to find the fulfillment of the promises that are found in Scripture, there's one person this is found in, Jesus Christ. And because he's the Amen, his words then are faithful. His words are true, verse 14, the faithful and true witness. Excuse me. We can trust him. We cannot trust anyone else. We let ourselves down. Our friends let us down. The world lets us down. Jesus Christ will never, ever let us down. Why? He is faithful and he is the true witness. These are his words. Jesus Christ has a word for the church, the Amen, the faithful one, the true witness. He is speaking. And then it says this in verse 14, he is the beginning of God's creation. Meaning, he is the ruler of all creation. John 1 says, nothing was made in this world apart from Jesus Christ. Everything that was made through him. He is the ruler and the creator of the entire universe. He wrote a book and he's got a word and he wants to speak to us right now. That's why verse 14 is there, to get our attention and say, Jesus Christ, the Amen, he is speaking. He has a word. And specifically today, he has a word for the lukewarm. Now, what is his word for the lukewarm? That takes us to our outline, our very important outline. And the first thing Jesus says then today to the lukewarm church and lukewarm believers is this, we must loathe to be lukewarm. Point one, we must loathe to be lukewarm. Look at verse 15 now. Jesus says, I know your works. The reason he says that, because he knows everything. There's nothing he does not know. You are neither cold nor hot, church in Laodicea. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, problem, not good, Jesus loathes this, and neither hot nor cold, listen carefully, he says, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, there's so much talk at times of people who want to make Jesus into some fluffy teddy bear of sorts, okay? They have not read this verse. They have not read these letters. And apparently, they have not read the entire Bible either. Jesus is not wasting, mincing words here. Listen to what he's saying. But he's saying it in love. And much has been said about verses 15 and 16 pertaining to the hot and cold water that Jesus refers to. Now, what do we know about this? Here's what we know. The city of Laodicea lacked any true healthy water supply. And because they lacked this water supply, they had to pipe water in from adjacent cities, namely Hierapolis and the city of Colossae. Now, Hierapolis had hot water springs that could reach a temperature of 95 degrees. And they would pipe in this hot water from Hierapolis as part of their supply for water in the city of Laodicea. The problem is when you pipe it over several miles, that water starts hot. It will arrive at its location more often than not being lukewarm. They also piped in water from the city, again, as I said, of Colossae. This was cold water. This was refreshing water. But it is suggested that even this water traveling on its way there could also rise in temperature and cease to be cold and could arrive at a place that is lukewarm as well. When Jesus says this example, this illustration, this metaphor, every single person who's reading this letter in Laodicea anywhere near knows exactly what he's talking about. They all understand the context. They live with it every day. They know what he's trying to say. The point of Jesus here referring to them being lukewarm and the lukewarm water is this. In the end, lukewarm water is disgusting. And Jesus makes that very clear, especially when contrasted with really hot water or really cold water. Hot water can be very helpful. Hot water used for bathing. Hot water used for healing. Any single one of us ever been in a hot tub? There's a sense of, it feels pretty good. A lukewarm hot tub, not so great. Fair? Not so great. But it's called a hot tub because it's supposed to be hot. Cold water is used for refreshing purposes. Cold water is refreshing. You know, when it's a really hot day and you're sweaty or dirty, you come and you're so thirsty, you want water. And you don't want lukewarm water. You want cold water because it's that which tastes so good and so refreshing and feels so healing. Again, it's life-giving. Almost everyone in this room would much prefer either a very hot drink or a very cold drink. There are very few people, if any, in this room right now where if you had a choice, you would choose lukewarm. I'm not talking room temperature. I'm talking lukewarm. Lukewarm coffee, disgusting. Lukewarm tea, disgusting, in my opinion, hopefully yours as well. Lukewarm water, disgusting for sure in this context right here. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is taking the physical reality of the water that is found in Laodicea, and he is now applying it as a metaphor for the spiritual lacking that is happening, or the spiritual reality of the church in Laodicea as well. What we have to know about the city of Laodicea, it was very self-sufficient, very wealthy, very self-indulgent, very luxurious. They didn't have a lot of needs outside themselves. In fact, when an earthquake happened and the Roman Empire said, we'll give you money to rebuild it, like, no, we're good. We got it. We got all the money. We're very self-sufficient. See, what happens is when the world around you is so self-sufficient, has all this luxury and wealth, the church is within that. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of holiness. It takes a lot of Christ-centered, gospel-minded people to not get sucked into the ways of the world and also become self-sufficient. What is the problem with self-sufficiency? Self-sufficiency leads to self-dependency. And when we are dependent upon self, that means we're not dependent upon God. This was the problem of the church in Laodicea. They depended upon themselves, and therefore they did not depend on God. This just in, you can't serve both God and money. If we serve money, we will not serve God. It's impossible to do both. The Bible says you cannot serve both God and money. Which one's going to be? Which one is it going to be? It's one or the other, church in Laodicea. It's one or the other, church in Oakville today. We either serve money or we serve God. It cannot be both. This church was serving money. And what happens is when you start to serve money and self and the luxuries of this world, you become self-sufficient. When you become self-sufficient, you become self-dependent. When you become self-dependent, you become proud. And when pride kicks in, God gets kicked out. When we find that we have what we need in self, self kicks in and the need for God is kicked out. Self-sufficiency dulls our need for God and dulls our need for the gospel itself. This is why Jesus says with such seriousness upon the church in Laodicea, you're lukewarm. And that, in our language today, Jesus says, I want water that refreshes me. You remind me of water that makes me want to puke. That's what he's saying in verses 15 and 16 in our language today. What I see in you right now, church, is what makes me want to vomit. What makes me want to puke. This was Laodicea. Here's the question. Is this us? Is this us? Jesus loathes the lukewarm. And hear me, loved ones. We have to loathe the lukewarm too. We have to loathe the lukewarm in us first. This isn't a message right now if you look around your neighbors and figure out who this applies to the most. This is a message right now to look at your own heart and to look at this church as a whole and just be saying, God, are we suffering from this? Because if we don't loathe it in ourselves, listen, then that proves that we are blind. And what verse 17 becomes, verse 17 is a textbook verse case of spiritual blindness. Look at verse 17. For you say I am rich, you say I've prospered and I need nothing. But what you don't realize, Jesus says, is that you're the opposite. Isn't that so classic? This is what pride does. I'm rich, I'm prosperous, I don't need anything. Jesus is like, check again, church. You need everything. You don't realize in your spiritual blindness, in your pride, self-dependency, and self-sufficiency that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. But the church, they were going around saying, man, we're amazing. We got it going on. We're prosperous. We're wealthy. We're the envy of all the people around us. Jesus says, I don't care about what's material in you. I don't care about what you have practically. The only thing that actually matters is what you have spiritually and who you are spiritually. You think you have everything, but in the end, you have nothing. The spiritual reality is you are dirt poor. Spiritually, you are wretches. You have nothing. You're walking around all your clothes, but spiritually, you are naked. And the shame is there, but you just can't see it. You know what's happening right here? Jesus is showing here the indicators of what it means to be lukewarm. You think one thing, but you have no clue about the reality of the other. These are indicators I want to unpack right now for us right here. I got seven signs of lukewarm living on the screen here. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just helpful for us just to, what are the indicators based on the church of Laodicea that there's lukewarm evidences within our lives? The first one is the most important one to me. It's this. Number one, a sign that I'm lukewarm is I'm spiritually content. Now, hear me here. Material contentment, good, very good. I don't need more. Christ has given me what I need. Materially, but spiritual contentment is disastrous. spiritual contentment in the lukewarm person. Church is like, no, man, we're good, man. We're fine. We don't need to pray anymore. We're just relaxed. Everything's going great. We don't need to press into the Lord. I'm not hungry for the word. I'm not seeking to, again, seek God in prayer. I don't really need to desire anymore because we're just kind of status quo, coasting, put it in neutral, put our feet up, lay back, get our fluffy spiritual pillow out, and just ride the days and see what happens. It's great. There's no hunger. There's no passion. There's apathy, complacency, and lethargy. That's this. That's a sign that we're lukewarm. If we are spiritually content that we don't need to grow, disastrous upon the Christian life. Second sign that I'm lukewarm. I love the world more than I love the word. In this case, the word is Jesus. And how do we find Jesus? In the word. And this is so basic, but this is the church of Laodicea. We have everything. We're prosperous. We have gold. We have clothing. And we have physical healing. We're not interested, though, in Christ. Problem. We got to look at ourselves and say, what do I really value right now? What do I think about? What do I long for? What are my motivations? I love the world more than I love the word. Just simply do a time check of how you spend your thoughts and your practical time, and that'll show you what you and what I really love. Thirdly, sign of lukewarm. Money moves my motives. So because I value this more than I value Jesus, well, then this starts to run my life. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Find your treasure, find your heart. Find your heart, find your treasure. What we treasure is where our heart is at. Now, interestingly here, the lukewarm person often gives the least, because this is their treasure. And because they're lukewarm, they don't see the gospel, they don't see the value of the kingdom of heaven, they don't give to it. They throw a couple bucks in the plate every now and then, and that's it. That's a sign we are lukewarm. There's a lack of generosity for the things of God, the things that actually matter. And because I matter more than Jesus, and I want my kingdom more than God's kingdom, I don't give to his kingdom. I hoard it for myself because I'm lukewarm. And Jesus says, you make me want to puke. Not my words. Fourth sign. Prayer is foreign to me in my life. When I don't need God, I'm not going to pray to him. The lukewarm, they will pray when crisis hits or when they feel real desperate. Save me from this. Take away this pain. Remove me from this trial. But then when things go good again, I'm fine. I'm good. And prayer just dissipates throughout their life. It's foreign. There's no sense of need or urgency because we're lukewarm. Fifthly, I don't share my faith with others. The lukewarm person has no urgency for the gospel, so the lukewarm person just says there isn't a need to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to be liked. I don't want to be opposed. I don't want to take risks. I like being accepted by man. I don't see the fear of God. I see the fear of man. And so this then becomes a real problem, which is a sign that there's lukewarm indicators on my life. Number six, I'm indifferent to sin. A sign of lukewarm living is I have sin in my life, but frankly, I just don't care. I just don't care. I don't have a fear of God when it comes to the things I look at, how I talk, the way I live. I know I got sin, but to be honest, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's a big deal to God, but it's not a big deal to me. Lukewarm church doesn't say it as it needs to be said, doesn't go after the sin that needs to be going after, just kind of is appeasing culture, doesn't deal with things directly. That's the lukewarm church. That's the lukewarm family. That's the lukewarm individual. Here's a seventh sign that I'm lukewarm in my life. It's this. This list is really bugging me right now. And the reason this list bugs the lukewarm person is because don't tell me I'm not spiritually getting, don't tell me who I need to be. Don't tell me how to give. Don't tell me anything, pastor. Get out of my head. And because we don't want to change, don't disturb me. I'm good. Don't bug me. I want to live my life the way I want to come to church and do a couple of things and then go home and be who I want to be. Don't tell me who I need to be. Stop bugging me. And that's important right now, because if you're sitting here right now and you are bugged, and we're going to hear in a few minutes, man, the greatest beginnings of leaving the lukewarm life is to admit that you've been there. It's to admit that this has been a sin of your heart, of our hearts. See, love, this is why we must loathe to be lukewarm. because lukewarm living is killing the church. All our money, all our luxury, all our ease, all our comfort, all our pursuit of the world in Laodicea and here right now, when we were pursuing the world, how do we have any room to pursue Christ? And when this is happening, when we're pursuing the world and not Christ, what has happened is we have lost sight of the gospel. We don't value the gospel. We don't care enough that Christ has lived a perfect life, died a horrific death, suffered the wrath of God, was raised from the dead, has ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now, and will come again one day to judge the living and the dead and to gather his people. But that really isn't something that's important to us because we prove it with how we live. When the gospel is forgotten, apathy sets in. When the gospel is remembered, when the gospel is lived, when the gospel is seen, Christ is worshiped. Passion then is a result. And this is the indictment and the plague upon, again, the church of this land and in this society. There's so much focus on self, there's hardly any room for Christ. But when we understand the gospel truly, we cannot stop the zeal. Let me put up two quotes here. The first one is from Vance Havner. Don't ever underestimate the devastation of lukewarm believers, lukewarm people. The cause of Christ has been hurt more by Sunday morning bench warmers who pretend to love Christ, who call him Lord, but don't do his commands, than by all the publicans and sinners combined. The church is so hurt by those who sit here and look like something, but in reality live something else. But let's not ever underestimate the power of passion in the church. Here's a quote by J.C. Ryle. He said this: nothing is so effective in keeping true Christianity alive as the yeast of zealous Christians scattered throughout the church. Think about that. I love that quote. Nothing is so effective as the passion and zeal in Christians in keeping the church alive. Think about any great man or woman for God over time. This was their secret. Irrefutable. Like salt, these zealous Christians, they prevent the whole body from falling into a state of decay. No one but men of this kind can revive churches that are about to die. That is so true. It is impossible to overestimate the debt that all Christians owe to zeal. It's impossible, Ryle says, to overestimate the debt that Christians owe to men and women who refuse to fall to apathy and lethargy. God, help us wake up. Help us wake up for the love of God. For the love of God. Are you sitting here right now and you've been asleep for too long? God, help us wake up. The starting point, though, is to loathe to be lukewarm. If we're good with it, then we're done. We got to hate it. God, give us grace to see your glory and our need for you. This takes us to point number two now. So what do? Well, we need to do this. We must buy what is best. We must buy what is best. If you look at verse 18 now, so here's Jesus' response. Jesus diagnoses the situation in Laodicea. He says, the problem is lukewarm. What you don't realize is that you're actually dead. They don't have things going, but now though, in love, here's what you got to do. He says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. I counsel you buy from me white garments that your shame might be covered. I counsel you buy from me salve to anoint your eyes that you might truly see.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.